This is a study that we did. If you remember, some of you, we actually did it at the house and before we started the church. So it's about 3-4 years ago. But I thought it would be a good timing since a lot of people have been talking about end time things and also about rapture and all that kind of thing. And this is a study that we did and looking at the pre-trib rapture and end time stuff. So you've got the outline and I've got ones that have the scripture verses, and I'll read the scripture verses just because we're taping things here, but you can fill in what you want as we go along. Okay? So the end time delusion of the pre-trib rapture, and even the title is like, what? I had this out after Paul had run it off, and some people were coming into the office, and they're like, what? It's like, mm-hmm, come Sunday if you want to find out. So obviously they came to find out. Immediacy or expectancy. These are two words that are often used with the pre-trib rapture or any rapture issue. Immediacy has come to be seen from pre-tribulation that at any moment Jesus would come back. So you have all of your, most of your Hollywood stuff and books of, the end time series that Jenkins and whatever LaHaye wrote. Yeah. All about at any time you've got your rapture ticket and we will poof out of here and your clothes will be left behind as well as everything else left behind for the world to go through the tribulation. So that's what imminency is. They also believe that the day of the Lord commences with the rapture of the church. So they think that the rapture of the church and the day of the Lord that's mentioned in the Old Testament concur. Now, the other word is expectancy. And this is what many believers in the early church had thought as far as Christ's return, that the personal pronoun we, like in 1 Thessalonians 4 there that you see, 4:13-15, is we who are alive and remain, or the adjective our gathering unto him, 2 Thessalonians, all demonstrate the expectancy of each generation that Christ would return in their lifetime, which becomes a catalyst for holy living. So Jesus could come back, so just be ready. And I think every generation felt that. I mean, Paul felt that, a lot of people felt in the year 1000 that Jesus would come back because of the millennium. So everybody was ready. So every generation is always looked upon for expectancy. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the Old Testament description of the day of the Lord and also compare the seal judgments in the book of Revelation with the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 and answer the questions that the apostle says, what shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the age? So there is actually two questions that they asked there. What is the sign of your coming and what's the looking at the end of the age? Then I'm going to read also a section of the Didache, which I handed out, I think, when we met a couple years ago, and I'll read about what it is. But basically, it was sent to the rural churches, and it was written between 90 and 100 AD, 120 AD. And basically, it's pieces of the scriptures and also, just some advice on what to do for baptism, how to prepare yourself for communion, etc. But the last one is a good representation about what they saw, the apostles saw. So it would be interesting to hear what the apostles said about the timing of the coming of the Lord. So let's look at the day of the Lord. Pre-trib assumes that the day of the Lord is equivalent to the start of Daniel's seventh week, which is tribulation. Remember, 7 years of tribulation? Yet the following scriptures point to cosmic disturbances that are tied to a certain seal in the book of Revelation. So you have the scriptures there, but I will read them. Isaiah 13, 9-10, it says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." Okay, so this is very significant that's tied to the day of the Lord. There's something that goes on before. Isaiah 34, 4 and 8. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. And then verse 8, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. So you see God's vengeance, and also there's a controversy of Zion, which is what? Jerusalem will be a cup of trembling in the last days. Is that happening? Sure, they're trying to parse up Jerusalem. They're trying to parse up the land. And all the nations are to come against. And, you know, if you were remember back in the 80s, it's like we were on Israel's side and, you know, President Reagan was, you know, Star Wars things and behind Israel and such like that. Well, now look, you'd always say the United States would never turn against Israel. And yet we are. It says all the nations would come against them. Joel 2, 10 and 11. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. The stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and terrible, and who can abide in it? So lest we think, oh, let the day of the Lord come. It's not a good day. It's not. It's frightful. And yet, there's, as you can see, as we're reading through here, there's things that are occurring that coincide with the day of the Lord. That's why we're just not going to poof out of here. There's other things that have to happen before this day happens. Joel 2, 30 to 31, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood before, very important word, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. So what is it saying here so far? It's saying the heavens are going to shake. There's cosmic disturbances that are going to occur before the day of the Lord. Okay? Joel 3, 14 to 15. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Okay, and then finally, Acts 2, 19 to 20. And I will show wonders in heavens above and the signs of the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. So, very important word, before. All of this occurs before the day of the Lord. So, there's our first question. When do these cosmic disturbances occur in relation to the day of the Lord? Would you say before or after? Before. Before the great and notable day of the Lord. Okay? So that's your fill-in there, is before. That's very important because if we're in imminency, that means nothing happens before the rapture. That's just even reading those scripture verses about the day of the Lord. There is cosmic disturbances before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So you're not going to be caught off guard. If the rapture occurs at the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord must be preceded by cosmic disturbance, what happens to the view of imminency held by pre-tribbers? It invalidates it. Yes, it invalidates it. See, it's not poof, we're gone. It is, there's something that's going to happen, and it's these cosmic disturbances that have to happen before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Okay? Now, folks, I know this is really hard because you were raised up in the church to believe that we're out of here before anything, and it even says there that we're not going to experience the wrath. It says in 1 Thessalonians, which we'll get to, you're not to experience God's wrath. There's a difference between man's wrath and there's a difference between God's wrath. And we'll look at it because it's right in Revelation. Okay, so what comes first, cosmic disturbances or the Great Tribulation? Cosmic disturbances, right. Is there tribulation and Great Tribulation? Yes. There's tribulation period, and there's also the great tribulation, it says. Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. So there is tribulation that leads up to the sun being darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. So there is tribulation, but then there's also great tribulation. Mark 13:24-25. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall. And then Luke 21. And what? Well, you guys have the scripture verses, don't you? You don't have to write them down. Oh, okay. All right. What comes first, cosmic disturbances or the great tribulation? Cosmic disturbances. Matthew 24. Mark 13 and Luke 21. There's your scripture verses. And again, that Luke 21 is, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of the nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking upon those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Okay, so you've got the powers of heaven being shaken. So, the next question is, what is the timing of the day of the Lord in relation to the great tribulation? Is it before or after? Before. It's before the great tribulation, okay? But it's also in, it says immediately after the tribulation. So we have a tribulation period of 7 years, right? And there is tribulation, the day of the Lord, and then the great tribulation. And that's the one that God said, or Jesus said, actually, that if those days were not cut short, there would be nobody living on the earth. The great tribulation. Okay, so the timing of the day of the Lord in relation to the great tribulation is it's before the great tribulation. Everybody follow that? You see, there's a period of tribulation, but before the great tribulation is the day of the Lord. Okay, which seal in Revelation 6 describes the cosmic disturbances? Anybody want to guess that one or look? It's seal number 6. It's door number 6. Open up door number 6. Revelation 6:12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casts forth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Not a fun time. Hold on. You think you got to hold on to something when an earthquake shakes, you know, 5 point whatever? Oh, my gosh. Okay, so that's the sixth seal. This is very important because we're going to look at the seals and the Olivet Discourse from Matthew, and we're going to compare them. All right, now, here's one of those tricky questions. Who is the author of the book of Revelation? Jesus. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Revelation 1. Okay? Revelation 22. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. All right? So he's the author of the book of Revelation, which he gave to John. John wrote down, but he's the author. And then who's the author of the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24? Jesus. So we got the same author. So they should have something line up here, right? As we're looking. So there's parallels to the seals in Revelation and the events in the Olivet Discourse. So we're going to look at the first one. Seals and events. First one is Revelation 6, 1 to 2, and it matches Matthew 24, 4 to 5. This is what Revelation 6, 1 to 2 says. When I saw the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying to us with a voice of thunder, look, behold, a white horse, and him who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, how many people think that that's Jesus when you read that? He's coming on a white horse, right? No, it's not. It's not Jesus. What's that? Fifi. No, it's not Fifi either. Well, look at Matthew 24, 4 to 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So the white horse, the first horse out of the stall, is deception. Now, are we seeing deception? Jesus warned four times. He says, what's the sign of your coming? Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. He says it four times in a row. So the first thing is deception and people who say that they're Christ, you know, or Christ-likeness or whatever. That's what the deception would be. So that's the first seal and event there. Second one, second seal, Revelation 6, 3 to 4. Then he broke the second seal, and I heard the second living creature say, come. And another, a red horse, went out. And to him who sat on it, it was granted to take the peace from the earth, that men should slay one another with a great sword was given to him. Okay, so now we've got the red horse. And Matthew 24, 6 says, ye shall enter, hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye need be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay? So, we've seen wars ever since we've all lived. But this is to take the peace away from the earth. So we've got wars going on right now. There's talks of, you know, attacking Israel, you know, the Arab nations. Wars and rumors of wars. So that's the second seal. Third seal, Revelation 6, 5 to 6. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. I looked, and behold, the black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard something like the voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine. Matthew 24, 7, A and B. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Now this is worldwide. This is not just us going through depression in the 30s. This is a worldwide economic disturbances. A denarius was a day's wage. Okay, that's what you got paid, a denarius. It's a little silver denarius, a day's wage. So are we going through economic upturn right now? And it's not just in this country. It's all the nations. Every one of them are on the verge of bankruptcy. Really ripe for, let's clean the slate and do this over. But everybody has to have the same currency. Okay? So it's not just the United States. This is the whole world. And they are in trembling right now. I mean, I keep up on the economy thing. And it is, look at what happened to Greece. Look what's going on. Even in Germany, Spain, they all have to be bailed out. I'm telling you, it's just headed right for a whole worldwide economic collapse and then a reissuing of some kind of currency. Okay, number four, Revelation 6, 7 to 8. The Lamb broke open the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come. I looked, and behold, an ashen horse. And he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with pestilence with wild beasts of the earth. And then, obviously, back to Matthew 24, 7b, is there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Which means places that you wouldn't think of. Okay? They just had, this is interesting because Netanyahu, who is the prime minister of Israel, was meeting with George Mitchell, who is the envoy for the Middle East from this country. And the day that they met, there was an earthquake in Washington, D.C., and then also in Eilat, Israel. So you're talking about diverse places, like places like Boston and back east is having earthquakes, even small, but they're still having earthquakes. Places where you wouldn't suppose that there would be earthquakes. Diverse places. All right, let's look at five.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. 5, Revelation 6, 9 to 11. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" That coincides with Matthew 24, 9 to 22. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another. So you've got delivering up from the heathens, it looks like, but also they shall betray one another because people get offended. That's your brethren. Okay? The sheep are going to turn into wolves. We call them the Barf Brigade. Okay? The Barf Brigade is what Jesus says, "I have vomited you out of my mouth," the lukewarm people. That's who the Barf Brigade is. "And many false prophets will arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he who shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel." Wait a minute, I thought we weren't supposed to be around when the Antichrist comes out. "When you see," it says. "When you see." Well, that's tribulation saints. Really? That doesn't say that. It just got through saying that your brothers are going to betray you and they're going to, you know, be offended. "So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand. Let him which is in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down and take either out of this house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that are nursing. But pray ye that your flight not be in the winter, nor on the Sabbath day, or in Oregon during the rainy season. For then shall there be great tribulation." Okay, so we've got tribulation, right? Now it says, then, as soon as the abomination of desolation is set up in the temple, then you're going to have great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, nor even shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, the elect's still around. But it says, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Matthew 24, 9 to 22. So let's just take that apart a little bit. They will deliver you up to be afflicted. You'll be hated from all nations for my namesake. Whose namesake? Jesus' namesake. Okay? Look, he's going to deal with Jacob. He's going to deal with Israel separately. But this is, our namesake is Christ. "And shall betray one another." What do you have to worry about your brother betraying you? Because they're other Christians. "And shall be and hate one another. And then false prophets shall arise." So, what's happening here is, first of all, there is a movement around the world that likes to remove heads. Right? Islam. And I think that's in Ezekiel, I think it's 7 or 8, where it says that there'll be a curse thrown out upon the whole world. I think that's what it is. And so you've got this great thing rising up. We've got the Christians and Jews, and then you've got the Islam. And you can see it just coming right up against one another. All right, number 6, Revelation 6, 12 to 7. Now the sixth seal. Now this is where we get to the day of the Lord that we've been talking about. "I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig casts its unripe fruits. The sky rolled up like a scroll, the mountains were moved out of their place, the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich and the strong, and every slave and free man hid themselves in caves and among the rocks of the mountains and said, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Whoa. Hiding in the caves, huh? Yeah. So that Revelation 6:12-17 coincides with Matthew 24:29-30, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Remember, we talked about we have a period of tribulation, right? After the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened. Here's the day of the Lord. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the heavens shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It's after the cosmic disturbances. So don't think that you're going to be brushing your teeth and all of a sudden the toothbrush falls into the bowl and your shoes are left and you're gone, because that's not going to happen. There are some things that have to happen beforehand. Next week, we're going to look at signs of Jesus' coming, and you're going to say, how close are we? Well, let's say that this was, you know, this whole section here between the wall, the two walls, is time, okay? In the beginning, God created, and then this is the end, is over here. Now, God is out of time and space. So when he looks at time, he's up above it. He can see, you know. He's not constrained to time. How close are we? We're real close. I mean, we're real close. Why? You'll see next week, because there's certain things that you have to come back next week. There's certain things that have to be in line before Jesus comes back. And one of those was the reinstatement of the state of Israel after being scattered for 2,000 years. That's very, very big on the timepiece, is what goes on in Israel. You've got to keep your eyes on what's going on in Israel. Israel has not been discarded by God, as some denominations believe, in replacement theology. They believe the church has taken over for Israel and God is not having anything to do with Israel. That's blasphemous, because God is still dealing with Israel. Okay, so remember, immediately after the tribulation of those days, what's happening during the tribulation? Well, we've got wars and rumors of wars. We've got nation against nation. We've got famines and earthquakes. They've got delivering up to the Christians and afflicted, and the Christians turning on one another, and deception, love of many growing cold, etc., all up to that point of the cosmic disturbances. Last one, number 7, Revelation 8:1-6. Then the Lamb broke the seventh seal. There was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Imagine, silence. Nothing, no praising, silence. I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and the seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him so that he might add to it the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar. Hey, do you want to wonder where your prayers go? They're part of the golden censer. That's the smoke, you know. If everybody had gone to the Catholic Church and they'd take that little censer and don't sit in the front row during midnight mass, otherwise you get smoked out. I know, I used to be right up on the front. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. The prayers of the saints were given to him. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire on the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. Does anybody remember anything about the trump of God? What's the trump of God? And the trump of God, and then the dead shall rise, right? So it has to be during the trumpet times here. It has to. That's when the trumpets go. So, what did the Lord call the first through the four events? Matthew 24:8. All of these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Ladies, birth pangs? When they start coming, can you stop them? I've been there four times. I could see that. No way stopping that. I was there. So they're birth pangs. 1 through 4 is birth pangs. What's the fifth event? Matthew 24:21. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. So the fifth event is the great tribulation. So you got birth pangs, then you've got the great tribulation. What are believers to do and expect when they see the cosmic disturbances? Run, okay. Debbie says run and hide, okay? Where's those caves? Yeah. Luke 21:28, this is what it says. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. So it's not by surprise. You see these things happening, your redemption draws nigh. So lift up your head, your redemption is near. First Thessalonians 5:9 says, God did not appoint us to wrath. God's wrath. Pre-tribbers hold that the seals are God's wrath. Are the first six seals God's wrath or man's wrath? It's man's. It's man's. It's not God's yet. Wait till that happens. You'll know that because it says it burns up a third of the grass, then the seas and everything that is in it dies, and you'll know God's stuff, which I think we won't be there for that, but that's just my personal opinion. Okay, when is the seventh seal opened? Before or after the tribulation? After. It's after. Because then you get into Revelation 7 and the remnant of Israel, the 144,000 male virgins and multitude from the tribulation. The Lamb broke open the seventh seal, Revelation 8:1, and there was silence in heaven. So what does it usher in? The trumpet judgments, and that's God's wrath on the earth. The trumpet judgments usher in God's wrath. When does God's wrath fall on the earth? At the seventh seal, at the first trumpet. Right? That's what it says. Because after that, it's all the things that fall on the earth. What sign indicates the catching away of the saints? Trumpet. Right? Hopefully it's a little more distinct than that. We'll be heard. Yes, all the saints will hear. So it says here, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay? And then it says, those who are alive and remain from what? Probably the tribulation stuff that's going on, shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Okay? What sign happens with the seventh seal? They sound the trumpets. Revelation 8:6, and the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. So that's your seventh seal, is when the trumpets start. Are believers on the earth when God's wrath falls? No. Boy, Christy was really strong in that one. No, I don't want to be. Man's is bad enough, but God's, no way. You want to see what he does? Look what he does. I mean, forget it. So we are not destined for God's wrath, but it never said that we wouldn't go through tribulation and we wouldn't go through trials and tribulations and sufferings. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will be what? Persecuted. What is Satan after? Listen to that. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Listen, does Satan care if you get your head chopped off? No. Does Satan care about your holiness and godliness? Yes. What do you think he wants to rob? All those who live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He'd rather have you give it up, right? Renounce Christ, live ungodly, live unholy, to steal that. Steve's got that picture in the back, that guy that looks like the devil. He'd rather have that than he would have you dead. Because once you're dead, boop, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's it. So, let me read, and I'll read slowly, the Didache, okay? Next week, like I said, we will go through the signs of Jesus' second coming. The Didache is a manual. The Didache means teaching, okay? It's a manual of instruction. It was written by the apostles. It was for the Gentile Christian community, okay? It was written between 80 AD and 120 AD. If you want to look it up, just put Didache, D-I-D-A-A-C-H-E, and you can look it up. It is mentioned by the early church fathers, including Eusebius in 324 AD. The Ethiopian Orthodox Church calls the Didache a broader canon, so they even recognize it as a canon, just like with the Bible. It was discovered, a portion of it was discovered in 1873 in Greece and estimated to be written around 1053 AD, which is 70 years before the Dead Sea Scrolls. It is in three sections. Chapters 1 to 6 is the way of life and death. Chapters 7 to 10 are rituals, such as what to do as far as baptism, communion. Chapters 11 to 15 are ministry dealings. And chapter 16 is end times. So it's got 16 little chapters. It is similar to Matthew in words and phrases and motifs. It gives a pre-baptismal instruction. It includes a Trinitarian formula. It's in line with Matthew 28 as well as the Lord's Prayer. So all these things are mentioned in there. Okay, this is what chapter 16 says, and this is what they said. Watchfulness, the coming of the Lord. 1. Watch for your life's sake. Do not let your lamps be quenched, nor your loins be unloosed, but be ready, for you know not the hour in which our Lord comes. But often shall you come together. Remember it says in Hebrews? Don't forsake the assembling together as is a habit of some, so that you can encourage one another. And when is the temptation for that to happen? As you see the day drawing near, the day of the Lord. So you know, as we get closer to the end, people are just, I run across people all the time. I just met with some people that would like to be baptized, but they don't go to church. I understand that. I'm not going to make it a stipulation that they have to come to church here. But ultimately, if you're going to follow Jesus and what he says as far as baptism, then you should follow him about coming together. But often shall you come together, seeking the things which are befitting to your souls. For the whole time of your faith will not profit you if you are not made perfect in the last time. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to live a perfect life. It just means, what? What's that? You're a believer. And you're doing what does a believer do? Obeys the commands of the Lord. For in the last days, here it is. It says, the last days, false prophets and corruptors shall be multiplied. Did we not read that? Muhammad. And the sheep shall be turned into wolves. Did we not read that? Turn against each other. And the love shall be turned into hate. Did we not just read that? For when lawlessness increases, they shall hate and persecute and betray one another. And then, I'm emphasizing the then, because we've got a sequence, right? And then shall appear the world deceiver as the Son of God. There's the Antichrist. And shall do signs and wonders. And the earth shall be delivered into his hands. And he shall do iniquitous things which have never yet come to pass since the beginning. He's going to do signs and wonders. This guy's going to make David Blaine look like, Mickey Mouse. Then, here's another sequence. Then shall the creation of men come into fire of trial, and many shall be made to stumble and shall perish. Just read Daniel 12. But they that endure in their faith shall be saved from under the curse itself. Endurance. And then, we got another sequence. And then shall appear the signs of the truth. First, the sign of an outspreading in heaven. There's your cosmic disturbances. Right? That comes first. Then the sign of the sound of the trumpet. Cosmic disturbances come before the trumpets, just like in Revelation. And the third, the resurrection of the dead, right? And the dead in Christ shall rise first after the trumpet sounds. Yet not all, but as it is said, the Lord shall come and all his saints with him. Then shall the world see the Lord coming upon the clouds of heaven. It just follows right along with Revelation and also the Olivet Discourse. Same timing. So does the Lord, the day of the Lord come before the sound of the trumpet? No. Before the spreading out of heaven? No. Before the man of iniquitous things is revealed? No. Sorry to burst your bubble. So I gave this, when I went to see my father last year at this time, I really felt like it was, I knew I was going to Florida for this, not, I mean, to visit Dad, yes, but so I had these little Bible studies all over, and I handed this out, and we went through it, and everybody goes, you burst my bubble. Oh, no. I said, but wouldn't you rather know instead of going, well, you know what? This didn't happen. What else isn't true in the Bible? Because then you're going to see a great falling away because they're going to question everything. I'm out of here. And doesn't that just fit our culture? You know, easy escapism. We're out of here, you know. Too bad the rest of you are dying. So anyway, that's the first part. I just wanted to share that around the day of the Lord, around the fallacy of the pre-trib. And so what we'll do next week is the signs of Jesus is coming, and probably I'll look at the Battle of Armageddon and who's involved with that. Okay? I wish you all a happy afternoon. No, folks, you know what? This is one thing that we always said. If we're going to have a church, we're going to preach the truth. Not just because it's easy believism and fluffy stuff. You've got to look and you've got to say, you know what? Take this and read the scriptures and stuff. Be like good Bereans that we studied in Acts. Examine it for yourself. But this is like important stuff. Because why? Because we live in a deceptive age. And anything that comes down the pike, whether it be, excuse me, the prayer of Jabez, or the purpose-driven life, or whatever it is, the church just gloms onto these things instead of just preaching out of the Bible, examining it, and exegeting things out of the Bible, not reading things into it that you want to see. So, okay? All right, let's pray. And we'll pass the baskets, and we'll pray over the offerings. And then we'll have some fellowship, and we'll see you next week. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. As hard as it is, Lord, as hard as it is. But thank you that we can live in expectancy, as each generation always lived expecting that you would return in their lifetime. So, Lord, would just help us to ponder these things. It says, Mary pondered these things in her heart that she heard about Jesus, and so we need to ponder them just like Mary did and ponder them. And help us to live a holy life, because that's what it really comes down to, is to live a holy life. So Lord, bless the tithes and offerings, and thank you for this church. Thank you that we all have jobs, and we just praise you and thank you for always being there, and you'll never leave us nor forsake us, not even in the midst of the stuff that we read today. In Jesus' name, amen.